And speaking of the Deputy Mayor, Mick Renheisen, he is on line one with us. Mick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Keith.
Hey.
You're in a good mood, so I'm not going to bring up Tiger Woods or the video of his DUI arrest or anything that's going on with him. It's a terribly sad situation, and the golf this week is at Jack Nicklaus's Memorial, and they're off and running already this morning. How's your golf game?
I'm not playing very much, so it's hit or miss right now.
Well,
my short game is struggling, let's put it that way, which is typical when I don't get to play much.
Have Diane Daly set up a little green rug in the office there and cut a hole in it, and we can work on her putting while we're doing, at least on the radio with us, as you give us a great public service. Joining us every Thursday morning, Keith is here as well, and plenty of stuff going on, obviously, and I want to talk about, as Keith told you, the article in yesterday's paper. Number one, I think it's great that John Hamilton got out of his desk chair and went downtown to look and see what was going on there, but I found more things in that article disturbing than I did enlightening, and again, I don't want to put you in a tough spot here, but you've been through this stuff enough. The tenor of that article where the safety officer is afraid to walk through alleys during the daytime, and the behavior that's going on in broad daylight in People's Park, that stuff is just, to me, mind-boggling. And I think the question a lot of people have is why do we allow it to happen?
Well, the answer is we don't, but we don't have somebody standing outside every area where there are these challenges to monitor 24/7 where the activity occurs. So when it's observed by the public or observed by our staff, one of the reasons we ask our parking enforcement officers to help with this initiative is they're walking the same streets where the activity in question is happening. So if they've already been out looking at sites and can call our law enforcement people when they observe something that's illegal, we need that to happen. I was a little dismayed by the newspapers recounting that maybe we were previously wasting taxpayer money. I would argue the opposite. I would argue that asking someone who's already walking the same area to use their eyes, ears, and phone or radio to call in something they see is hardly inefficient. It doesn't mean that because they weren't asked before, now they are, that they were just doing nothing. That enforcement group talks to citizens, helps people who are putting, you know, using the meter for the first time or having trouble with it. So they already have a public outreach effort and are walking those very same places. Now all we've asked them to do, and much to their credit, we knew they needed training. Many of them have taken on the extra responsibility, and they're helping us. So that, a little bit of a little craw in my throat about the approach that we were being inefficient. I would argue the opposite of that. When people observe illegal behavior, we need you to call so that we can get our resources there. And the question might be, why aren't they there now? Well, we don't have enough to just have someone stand in one place all day long. So maybe that's something we have to address, is more resources. I could understand how that would be a logical question.
I think the million-dollar question is, do we want it to continue to happen, or is it part of the quote-unquote what keeps Bloomington weird? But that the article didn't paint a very flattering picture. Somebody's throwing knives. Two guys are drinking in public. You missed the part earlier where there was a bunch of fights and all this stuff. That didn't paint a picture that I think a lot of people in Bloomington either don't want to see. And this is where I give the mayor credit. He went and looked with his own two eyes. That, to me, was a big step. Are we going to hear his reactions of what he saw?
I don't know. I don't see why John wouldn't want to, the mayor wouldn't want to express, you know, what he saw and what other additional efforts we might take. And I think the public knows we've had a task force studying this for a year. We've rolled out various initiatives along the way. This is another one of those. I don't really know there's a silver bullet solution. I think everybody would like to see that. I think we'd like to see that. We've not discovered it. We've done this task force has done yeoman's work doing best practice studies around the country, and we're trying some of these various things we've learned from other cities out now. And they've not all been rolled out yet. There's still some more recommendations to come from that task force in the next couple of weeks. But this isn't something that's going to get fixed overnight. Now, We do not turn blind eyes to anybody that's violating the law. I've often said, if Mick Renneisen was drinking a beer in People's Park, I hope I would be subject to the same laws that everybody else has to abide by. So we shouldn't turn a blind eye to people who are experiencing homelessness or anything else. The law is a law for anybody. And again, we need people to report what they see, and then our law enforcement folks can come out.
Mick, it's a little historic on this, but when you think in terms of People Park, and people from time to time say, close that down, put something else there, there are certain restrictions to how that area can even be used by how the city got that property, right?
That is correct. It was a gift from the Canada family, and it has in its deed restriction that it has to be used as a public park or it has to be returned to the Canada family if it's not. So some people have said, give it back. Well, I don't know if anyone's been around long enough to remember what it was before it was People's Park, but it had a very similar yet completely unregulated look before it was People's Park. It was kind of a black market's the right term, and some people that have been around longer than I have may remember exactly how that was and looked, but the pictures I've seen do not cast a pretty picture of what it was before. And I'm not saying the Canadas would return it to that or not, but that's the reason that it can't be just turned into something else. It would have to go back to the donors.
Well, and this whole situation brings me to the council meeting last night where the city council has tabled the vote, or we're going to talk about this into August, about having new regulations for where you can and can't ride your bikes. If we polled the people of Bloomington that are downtown, would they be more concerned about what's happening in People's Park or where you're riding your bicycle?
Well, fair enough to ask that, but you know, it's we don't live in a one-issue world. You've got to address multiple topics. It's not like we've just spent all of our time trying to address what's happening in People's Park, and then once we do or don't fix that, we go on to the next challenge. There are many challenges we face on a daily basis.
Right, and the argument was that this code and everything else needed upgrading. This is part of it moving forward. But we're adding one more thing to the resource officers of who's riding their bike on the sidewalk, who's doing this there. Do you have enough resources to handle all this stuff?
Well, that's a fair question, one we're asking ourselves. And, you know, last night was more of a discussion with obviously that was tabled to a future council agenda item because there was more discussion and uncertainty about what should be regulated and how difficult it would be and whether the resources were available or not. And that's fair. It was good to get the public discussion out there. That will help refine the ordinance when it comes back in the future. So that's a reasonable question. But we have issues with pedestrians in our downtown saying, hey, you know, a bike rider or a skateboarder just whizzed by me and almost knocked me over. So, you know, we just can't ignore other things
right.
that are going on because of a major issue. Mind you, our city survey said this issue downtown is a major issue for our community, and we're searching. We're searching and trying things, and hopefully we'll find the right mixture of things that can get this under control a little bit better than it is now. We're going to start the jobs program that was announced also last week with Centerstone, partnering with Centerstone and the Parks Department here to try to employ some folks that are homeless and help them clean up the parks that they're using, and maybe that behavior, because they're part of that same group, will help modify the behaviors of others. It's a trial. We'll see. I don't know if it'll work or not, but we're trying some other things.
What is going to determine whether that quote-unquote works, Mick?
Well,
is it going to be a time lapse? Is it going to be a participation thing?
There is a partnership agreement. I don't know all the details of success measures, but certainly it does have a time horizon, so we can evaluate it after that's over.
I think it's a great idea. I think
so
it's a fantastic
give it a try
idea.
And see, and we'll let you know. We'll let you know after the first pilot program happens, whether we see changes in behaviors, changes in cleanliness. We're going to employ some people, so hopefully maybe that'll get them out of homelessness.
You're doing is you're giving them an opportunity. If they choose not to take it, that's not your problem. And I know you can't say that, but I will. You are presenting a way to help. And if they don't want it, they don't want the help. They can't say nobody's reached out and given me an opportunity.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
We're trying options.
And I think that's a great thing to do because you have, again, being proactive, whether it's in policing, whether it's being in the skateboard and bikes and everything else, yes, because we have to progress as a society. We can't go backwards. So very good stuff. So good stuff for the mayor getting out and seeing it with his own eyes. That you can hear it and read all the emails you want, but sometimes you need to go look at it. So I just want to make sure. I've been saying it. I said it all day yesterday, too. That's a great job from your office.
Thank you. I will pass it on to the mayor.
Mick, you wanted to talk about the weekend fitness in the park?
Yeah, this is the first Saturday that we'll have a free program yoga.
Free?
Free in yoga, a yoga class in Bryant Park from 11 to 11:45. So anybody interested in having an instructor walk them through some yoga poses and exercises?
My body won't do those.
You're in the fatness program with me, not the fitness program.
Fatness, that's right.
Hey, I was at Bryant Park last Friday, hopped in the pool. Very nice.
First weekend we were open.
And it water was heated.
Water was heated. Felt good because it was a little breezy. So that water was nice. But pools were rocking. I was at Bryant Park yesterday with my assistants running around. Everything's in good shape. Big crowd. You're gonna have big crowds tomorrow as well at the pool because there's no school and it's gonna be hot.
Right.
Now, are you partnering later this summer with the hospital again on 90 degree days, or we'll wait and hear about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not on my list of things to talk about today. I'll find out from the parks staff to see. But also want to mention a free bike rodeo at Fairview Elementary this Saturday, June 3rd, from 10 a.m. to noon. Bring your bike. We'll have a few bikes available as well.
You're providing the cattle? for
Keith,
the rodeo?
Keith made a funny, Mick. Write that one. Yeah, bring your own lasso.
That's right.
Bring your own lasso. Bring your own bike. We'll talk about safety and wearing helmets and why that's important and all that good stuff. So this is an annual event at Fairview this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Mick, what's this planning and transportation thing you were talking about?
So the May 31st yesterday was the last day of public input on the new comprehensive plan. And for those that don't know what that is, that's how our built environment will look. Current plan, the growth policies plan, was formulated more than 15 years ago, so this is an update to that. And the plan commission will hold its first of two special hearings starting Monday, June 5th, to consider the changes and amendments that were submitted through the public input process. So there'll be a hearing then. There'll be a hearing on June 19th. Both of those will take place in council chambers at 5:30. And then the final vote of the comprehensive plan is scheduled for June 26th, same time and location by the Plan Commission. Then it moves to the City Council in the fall for adoption.
When are they announcing what they came up with?
Well, I think it's online now. You can see what the current version is and some of the amendments at our website, bloomington.in.gov/CMP. Printed copies are available if you want to go to the library or the Planning and Transportation Department office in City Hall in Suite 130.
And, yeah, you can find the website's been great for all the stuff we've had, all that information, doing an excellent job of keeping that out in the public's eye. It's time for Triviar. Keith was not here last week.
And I won last week.
You went
3-0 last week, Glass. Diane really teed you up.
Ooh. She did, and I knocked him out of the park. It was Memorial Day, so
it was
easy.
Well, you made it easy
holiday.
On him. Yeah, okay.
Well, all right, let's go.
All right, the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network has issued a challenge to Bloomington and Monroe County High School students to make this summer a summer of service. This new initiative challenges area high schoolers to log a collective total of 1,000 hours of service over the 10 weeks of summer. The challenge started Tuesday and will run through August 8th. Teens currently in high school or getting ready to enter high school this fall are eligible to participate. So question number one, under the guidelines, which of these is not considered a verified activity?
Not considered, Keith.
Not, okay.
So is it A, helping with an established nonprofit organization, B, helping a relative declutter, C, helping an elderly neighbor do chores, or D, volunteering at the hospital? Which of those is not considered a verified activity?
I'm B is where I'm going.
Well, why are you sweating, Keith? You got some clutter at your house?
Yeah.
You got a little clutter going on there?
I need a volunteer.
You need an army of volunteers. Yeah. You don't need a volunteer. It is B, decluttering.
That is correct. You can help a nonprofit. You can help an elderly neighbor do chores. You can volunteer at the hospital, but you can't help a relative declutter their house.
Well, you can. You're just not going to get any credit from the
city.
That's fair
enough.
Won't get
give them credit. Come to my house.
Yeah, you won't get a sign. You'll get a signed autograph from Keith,
that's
not
right.
The mayor.
Yeah.
Question number two, Summer of Service is a collaborative effort between the volunteer network of the city and members of which local group? Is it A, the Monroe County Youth Council, B, the Salvation Army, C, the Red Cross, or D, Friends of Cowboy Bob?
Well, D could really apply to anything because we should all be friends
with
Cowboy Bob. Those are three good questions because
I'm going to go to the Council of Youth.
That makes sense because you want high school kids and kids entering high school. But all those organizations are very helpful, but we'll stay with answer A.
answer is correct. It is the Monroe County Youth Council in partnership with the Volunteer Network. You guys are 2-for-2. The tiebreaker today, even if a student can't do a full 1,000 hours, they will be recognized for their contributions this summer if they, A, attend a one-day training session at the library, B, document their service in a written report, C, complete at least 20 hours of service, or D, clean and polish the AM 1370 news van.
D.
D, yeah, that's
any cleaning up over here would help.
That's obvious. That's exactly right.
No, I think all of the above until you got to D.
Right. I'm going with all of the above.
Well, but all of the above wasn't a choice.
I think if you work 20 hours.
I think you attend the meeting.
It is complete at least 20 hours of service, so Glass wins the tiebreaker today.
I would point out that I had Lucy Shake on the air yesterday morning to talk about this, but I think that would hurt Keith's feelings. So I had I had a cheat sheet
inside
with
information.
Me.
Yeah,
I did have it. Mick, great job. We appreciate you tuning in with us this morning and helping us navigate these issues. Like you mentioned, there is no silver bullet answer. There is no, and they're not easy to deal with. But you know from the survey, these are what concern people, and good job from the mayor's office on that.
Well, thank you, and absolutely we understand it's a challenge, and I just want our residents and visitors to know we're trying things. We're working on it. Just
yes, it is not inactivity. That's absolutely true.
Being patient, I know, is a stretch to ask because it's difficult, and it's been getting more and more challenging, but we're trying things, and hopefully we'll find a combination of efforts that will work, along with a bunch of other players that need to help with this.
It's not a
city that can solve this.
It's not a one-man job. That's exactly right. All right, great job.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Uh-huh.